Welcome in, latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton. Go by SEC Mike on the Twitters, but not today, Shane. Today I'm Gator Mike, and he's cousin Shane, everybody's favorite cousin who goes by Two Bits. Shane, what's up, brother?
Hey, buddy. Don't you always go by Gator Mike?
Yeah. Man, the comments are flowing. They're battling in here. Florida Day. I'm feeling pretty good. I even got my beach wear, Shane, because I know Gainesville's not exactly the beach, but I'm feeling that Florida vibes. How about you?
Yeah, not so much, my friend. In fact, I was on TexAg earlier. I said, if I wasn't on this show, I'd be calling in tonight, but Mike knows that I feel all right. So, hey, I got to give a shout out to my girl. We went out to Buffalo Wild Wings today. I want to ask you a question before we get going here. Is there, like, when you go to a wing place, do you request a specific wing, like a flat or a drum, or do you just, you kind of go with both?
Honestly, I don't eat a lot of wings, but I don't really have a specific one. It depends. Why?
Well, the only reason I'm asking is because my youngest has, you know, she's always been like a boneless wing kind of girl. You know what I'm saying? You know, you've seen her, you met her, a little bit of a diva, you know, but then we get here and she gets sauce. So like her only two requests is that it's hot, sauced, and they're flats. And I've never felt more proud in my life than at that moment when I knew my girl just grew up. And I mean, I don't even do that, but I was like, that's what I'm talking about. And maybe I didn't know if there was rhyme or reason to that. I didn't know if you made special requests. I have always been kind of a drum guy, but I felt less manlike when my daughter ordered a flat. So I said, give me 10 of those, you know?
Well, you see what he's doing here, folks. He's already derailed the Gator conversation because he's
three minutes is gone. We only got 57 left.
Well, yeah, proud dad. We're also proud. We're not this man's dad, but we might as well be.
Legend. JR. Cousin JR has done it again.
This time, Shane, even though he's a diehard dog, he's showing up for the Florida show. He's gifted Dawson. Welcome
to the family.
And not to be outdone, Shane. Not to be outdone.
Da-da-da-da. Well, apparently, Horton couldn't hear you. So he's gifting you a membership.
Horton, hear you, Shane. Yeah. He's just gifted the one-eedest. I have no idea how to say that, but the one-eedest. Welcome to the family. Appreciate you guys. Man, what a blessed cousins we got here. You know what?
Absolutely. No, it's good to see some family in here. Yeah, JR, he posted and ghosted, you know. He's like, I'm going to go ahead and get this in before
then
we get to this Florida stuff.
We got Clint. Shane, he said, great interview with Nuno on TexAg.
Thank you, cuz. Yeah,
I missed it, so I'm going to have to go check that one out.
Yeah, he started out quick asking me about my weight, you know, and I will say I give David a hard time, but man, I mean, he cares about you. You know what I'm saying? He's one of those guys that reach you out and he'll say, hey, how you doing? But he sent me, he's like, if you want it, I'll send you a food plan. I was like, absolutely. And the first thing he sent me was like 3 egg whites. And I said, Dave, this isn't going to work out. This isn't going to work out. I'll just eat less cereal.
What's working out for Cousin Ben, Shane? Hey, cousins, try to catch every live I can. Promise he's been a member for 9 months. Cousin Ben, we appreciate you, buddy.
Thank you, cuz. Absolutely. Appreciate you, brother.
We could BS all day, Shane. And I know you want to. But we got to get into it. Let's get into the Florida Gators, Shane. This is the year. We're back, baby. But real quick, let's recap what happened last year. Even though Shane wants to dismiss all the progress we made, we went 8-4, toughest schedule in the country. That's all anybody ever talked about was what a gauntlet this is. Billy Napier, this is going to be the schedule that finally gets him fired. And after first 3 weeks, that looked 100% like what was happening. But them Gators rallied, Shane, started picking up some wins. I think they should have beaten Tennessee. old Billy got kind of gutless there and did not go for two on the road. Would have won the game had they scored there. But who cares, Shane? Because what really happened, they caught fire at the end, eliminated LSU from the college football playoff, eliminated Ole Miss from the college football playoff, and, oh, just for good measure, kicked the shit out of Florida State too late in a bowl game and arguably the hottest damn team in the country. What about it?
Yeah, I mean, it was two halves, brother. You know, I was right there with them after that A&M game. I said, we got to do something here. And I felt like the Tennessee one, yes, I feel like that could have helped Billy. That could have helped the Florida Gators kind of launch a little quicker. But, you know, bad coaching decision. And that's why we were giving the Florida Gators such a hard time. But being able to bounce back, have that big win against LSU, and more importantly, Ole Miss, knocking a team out of the college football playoffs, that buys you some time. And, yes, there wasn't a hotter team in November than the Florida Gators, for sure.
Yeah, and then speaking of coaching,
everybody's
Billy Napier, come on, Shade. 59 and 31 overall in 7 years of coaching as a head coach. But, you know, that's the nicest thing we could say. He's 19-19 overall, 10-14 in the conference. Again, they just had their best season.
Yeah.
But by Florida standards, I mean, that was not even that great of a season. But who cares about that, Shade? We're looking towards the future. And here's his record against the entire SEC during his time there in Gainesville. And I was pretty surprised, Shane, that he's only got a winning record over three SEC programs. South Carolina's 2-0, Ole Miss 1-0, Mississippi State 1-0. So everyone else, he's 500 or has a losing record. That ain't going to cut it. I mean, he's the only Florida coach in my lifetime, I feel like, Shane, that has got a losing record against Tennessee. But again, he can even that score this fall, but this is the area where we got to do a hell of a lot better because, again, Florida's supposed to be a top five program in this conference, and they've not been it yet under old Billy.
Well, it's the rivals, man. It's LSU, it's Tennessee, it's Georgia. Having a losing record with your rivals, you cannot stay down there. You cannot stay long. And I feel like there was some signature wins in the 3 years that Billy's been down there. But there has got to be a shift if he plans on sticking around, mainly with those three teams, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. And then as for the coordinators, they exodus Austin Armstrong, Shane's, get his ass out of here. They really demoted him last year, promoted Ron Roberts, who's been with Billy at Louisiana. He's been all over the country. He's been at Baylor. He's been at Auburn. Now he's the official defensive coordinator in Gainesville, and he was the last couple games when we got red hot. They got Russ Callaway, who was on staff, but now he's technically promoted to offense coordinator, even though Billy Napier is still our offensive play caller, which some people are even upset about that. You know, again, I don't think he's a horrible play caller.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's elite either. You know what I mean? Like they're kind of, he's good. I'll give him that.
Yeah. Well, he is good, and I feel like there was some continuity, but there was also some change, and that's what I like. You know, you can't stay idle long in the SEC. It's such a small window. Either you make it or you don't, and if you start seeing things going awry, you have to make those what you may think drastic changes. So that's one thing I can't say about Billy. We knew it. He knew it. Everybody knew it. He made a good decision. I think he's good here with the coaching staff.
Yeah, and I'm good with Cousin Ben Shane because he's just gifted a membership this time Sarah. Oh, Sarah, welcome
to the family.
Courtesy of Cousin Ben, who's a legend.
He is, absolutely. Man, I tell you what, you know, I figured the numbers would be higher with all this heat outside, you know? It's like at Mark Chestnut. It's too hot to fish, too hot to golf. So let's jump on the podcast here.
Yep. Well, hey, speaking of getting hot, Shane, this is why big reason why I like the Gators this year.
Yeah.
Returning production, buddy. Over 63% of the offenses of production is back from last year. That is number three in the conference right there. 73% of the passing. That's number five in the SEC, thanks to the great DJ Lagway. Rushing yards, almost 70% is back. That's fifth in the SEC. Receiving, we got some work to do, but still 36.5%. That's number 8 in the SEC. So we're nowhere near the bottom. And then we love the big ugly, Shane. This is critical. 83.3% of the offensive line snaps from last year are back. That is number 3 in the SEC. So you're starting to see it. We got a talented quarterback. He's surrounded with a fantastic offensive line, a deep backfield, and then some real star potential at receiver.
Mm-hmm.
They got all the pieces to be maybe the best or most improved unit in the entire conference this fall.
Yeah, and I mean, honestly, I think this is why everybody is excited about the Florida Gators. Is not so much, you know, how they ended last year. It felt like that was the growth and development of this team right here, and them coming back in 2025, led by DJ, you know, Ball. Some are saying could be potentially the best running back. You know, Trey. Yeah. Here's a guy that 2 years ago I thought he was going to catch the world on fire. Hasn't had that yet. Could be this season. And then you pair that with a big, giant offensive line. I mean, this is the recipe for what Billy wanted. I mean, this is the team he built, and that's why there's so much pressure going into year four here, is because this is the squad that he was trying to develop, you know?
And let me ask you this real quick. I got DJ Lagway, his stats up. Again, not the most impressive. Not that they're awful, but just a hair under 60% completion percentage, 1,915 mm-hmm. yards, 12 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, 101 rushing yards. Call me crazy, Shane. And I might be a little crazy. But I think I'd rather have DJ Lagway, assuming he's healthy,
mm-hmm.
with 7 starts under his belt, than Arch Manning. Is that crazy? Just for next season.
Good God. I can't go one day without mentioning Texas or Arch Manning. So, I've seen DJ. You know what I'm saying?
And
I've
right.
seen,
That's
not
the thing.
That I haven't seen Arch, but I do know that I have, let's say, the floor. You know, I like the floor that we have with DJ right now. Haven't seen it with Arch, and for some reason we didn't get to see it last year for a reason. So, yeah, I get where you're coming from.
And I also think if I'm a Gator, you know, I'm obviously confident in my guy, but I love the fact the other guy, I don't know if he's on the video game, but I assume, you know, the cover or whatever the hell, he's on everything. He's going to be on ESPN. He's going to be on game day. Make him the damn face of the sport. Don't talk about old DJ over here who's kicking ass. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's perfect.
Yeah, no, you may be right. And I don't think anybody's sleeping on DJ, though. I mean,
I don't know, man. All I hear is damn Arch baiting.
Hell, we bring it up every day on this show, you know? So Arch and Sellers, and I think it's 4. I think there's a 4-headed monster right now. I mean, you possibly could throw Mateer in there. There's some really, you know, for a league that usually leads in quarterbacks, I'm telling you what, brother, this is going to be the season that we put them out there, you know? So, yeah, we got some absolute studs in this conference.
And I love this from Cousin Rick. The only thing better than Gator Bites is having them hand-delivered to Kyle Field. Beat the hell out of Notre Dame. We appreciate you, Cousin Rick. What a guy. What a guy he is. You know what?
Oh, love it. Love it. Gator Bites are overrated, by the way. I don't know if you ever had them, but, I mean, you're doing it because you're playing the Florida Gators, but it's not something you're saying, hey, I can't wait till next Tuesday to eat some Gator
Bites. I'd rather have some of them chicken wings. You know what?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Now, defense. Again, we're also strong here, Shane. Defensive returning production for them Florida Gators. 64.5% of the defensive production from last year's back. That's number 7 in the SEC. Over 57% of the tackles. That's 7th in the SEC. Tackles for loss. Love this stat. Nearly 72%. That is number 2 in the SEC. Interceptions, over 71%. That's number 5 in the SEC. Passes defended, 59%. That's number 8 in the SEC. And then I love defensive backs that snaps. This is an emerging stat you want. Veterans in your defensive backfield, over 69%. That's 5th in the conference. And then, not to be outdone, defensive line, 57%. That's number 7 in the SEC. So everywhere across the board, you know, we're not number one or anything, but we've got the frontline guys. We got the secondary guys. We got linebackers. We got at every position, we got key players returning this fall in Gainesville.
Yeah, and this is the group that has to take that step, man. You know, I feel like last year's success toward the end of the season, you know, a lot of us were quick to point out the quarterback and the running game, but it was this defense, man. It was this defense that kept them in those matchups. It's this defense that fixed any mistakes that the offense made. And this is one that's got to continue to grow, brother. And I know they got a lot of returning production, and I believe that's why a lot of people are excited about the Gators here. But, you know, this is one that for some reason it feels like we haven't put a complete season together since Billy's been down there. So these guys really got to step up this year.
Hey, I want to highlight a comment real quick, Shane, from Liquid, big Florida guy. If you don't like gator tail, you're cooking it wrong. So maybe we just don't know how the hell we're to cook it.
That probably right, man. Because to be fair, I didn't cook it. I've never cooked gator in my life. Now I have ate, obviously, a lot of it, but it usually results in the loss. So maybe I should stop eating it. Maybe it's bad luck.
Horton hears you, says, why is DJ Lagway not at the Manning camp this year? I was not aware of that, but I mean, it's clear as day to me, Shane. The Mannings are scared.
Just scared. I mean, we weren't invited. So, I mean, I'm not upset.
Now, this is one program, Shane, didn't hit the transfer portal pretty hard. 7 guys transferred in, 20 transferred out. But the fact that they didn't bring a bunch in, it wasn't because they couldn't. It's because they were, you know, they got all this returning experience. So what do? We bring in a guy like J. Michael Sturdivant, Speed Demons from UCLA. He had 10 starts, nearly 600 yards, 4 touchdowns last year at UCLA. We're bringing in Harrison Bailey. We all know that guy from Tennessee, UNLV, Louisville. Who knows what school he'll be at next year, but he was MVP of the spring game, I believe. So he lit it up there. They brought him in to back up old DJ and a couple other players. But again, none of these guys projected to start other than Michael Sturdivant. So again, depth pieces here. Oh, well, the punter may start, but again, that's just because we had a hole at punter. But the fact they didn't bring in a ton of guys, that tells me they love their roster down there in Gainesville.
Oh, Tommy boy, back air putting. Yep. No, I like that. Michigan probably could have used him, you know.
And then real quick, recruiting. The number 10 recruiting class in the country, 7th in the SEC. But some star power, Shane. Number 6 receiver, Vernell Brown. Number 8 receiver, Dallas Wilson. They were both 5 stars. And Dallas Wilson, he sounds like $1 million. He may start this year. He caught like 20 passes in the spring game. He was insane. And, just the number 6 corner, Ben Hanks. So tons and tons and tons of talent coming to Gainesville. Mm-hmm. I've been very negative on Billy Napier. I'm, you know, just being honest. I call it like I see it. But the man can identify and recruit and quite frankly, develop talent. So talent, not going to be an issue. This is his best team in Gainesville this year.
Well, and that's why there's no excuses this year. You know, I feel like we kept kicking the can like, hey, let's give him one more season. No, I feel like this is – I hate that word last dance, you know. I don't want to dub that, but I do feel like this is the last chance, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I liked it a lot. Yeah. All right, let's get to the projected – offensive depth chart. And again, what's critical here, Shane, not a lot of transfers again, and a ton, absolutely a ton. The returning starters are bolded here. Dang near every position outside of right tackle who he played 13 games last year in 3 starts, and a running back who's maybe the breakout star in the entire league. The rest are basically returning starters. So I love this offensive line. Number 1 position group on the offense, Shane, Jake Slaughter, center. He was an All-American last year. He's incredible. Austin Barber at left tackle's got 26 career starts. Our left guard has got 13 starts. Harris, Damian George, our right guard's got 10 starts last year, 0 sacks allowed. The only guy not a starter was Shane was all SEC freshman Bryce Lovett last year. So again, this is what Billy Napier wants to be: ground and pound, physicality, run the ball. Remember, he doesn't want to beat anybody by 10 points. He wants every game to be a 3-point win. How do you get there? You chew up the clock, you run the football, and I think they're going to be able to do it with this dominant offensive line.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's why I'm saying that's like he built this team. He built this roster exactly the way he wants to play offense. And, you know, it's set. You know what I'm saying? The pieces are in place. And short of injuries, which, you know, I do worry a little bit about the depth here with the Florida Gators. But if, you know, a little lady luck on your side, Florida Gators could win a lot of football games this year, Mike, mainly because of that. Those big uglies up front. I can't say it enough. We don't get to talk about the offensive linemen much, so
right.
I bring it up every chance I can.
And then basically all the rest of the position, Shane. I mean, I'm splitting hairs here, but next I'll go receivers, tight ends with Trey Wilson. We've seen him; he's phenomenal. Khalil Jackson's back. The transfer Michael Sturdivant, and then emerging talent like Dallas Wilson, Vernell Brown, the 2 5-star freshmen I was referencing. They got Aiden Mizell back. Tony Livingston's played a lot. Tank Hawkins. I mean, we're deep at receiver, so that's and tight end, starting tight ends back. So I'm going that position group. But again, splitting hairs here. Quarterbacks next for me, because thanks in large part to DJ Lagway, we got Harrison Bailey transfer in. We got Aiden Warner, who started. He got his ass kicked against Texas, but he started last year. So again, we got 3 guys with starting experience at the quarterback position. That's basically unheard of in today's college football, and a promising 4-star true freshman. And then last, and this is a heck of a group, Shane. So this, I'm not saying they're bad by any means, but I put running backs last, and that is considering, I believe Jaden Ball, maybe I've already said, I think he leads the SEC in rushing touchdowns this year. That's how good I think he could be. Jacoby Jackson's back, Trey Webb's back, KD Daniels, and oh yeah, Anthony Rubio. He's the son of the politician man who he scored a touchdown in a bowl game. That's why the only reason I mentioned him.
Yeah, that's like what was it, Kirby Smart's boy or something? No, who was it? Not Kirby, but
Muschamp, maybe.
Yeah, Muschamp. Yeah, he got out there on the field. They got all excited. No, I like these kids getting out there, whatever. But I think the running game is going to really shine at the end of the season. You know, this is going to be a run-first football team. And a lot of that, you know, you're going to – I think we'll lean back at the end of the season and talk about how great that running back room is. But it's just, I believe, a product of Napier's system, you know.
Yep. All right, now let's get to the projected defensive depth chart. And again, not a lot of transfers, right? And a decent, not as many as the offense, but a lot of returning starters here, Shane. And this was a little bit tougher. You know, position groups, which one will be the best? I went defensive line because Tyreek Sapp is awesome. Caleb Banks made the decision to come back. He could have went to the NFL. So we got 2 outstanding defensive linemen back and a ton of guys, Shane, that have played. Jamari Lyons, Cameron James, LJ McCray was a 5-star 2 years ago, I believe it was. So a lot of depth. DeAndre Robinson's another one. We got a lot of bodies we can throw on the defensive line. So it's more of a depth play for me than anything. Defensive backs, they're second in my mind with starters Jordan Castile and Bryce Thornton back. Both those guys have played a ton of football. Sharif Denson, DeJuan Johnson, Devin Moore, and name to know, Cormani McClain. He was the guy that went play for Deion at Colorado. Deion kicked him out and he came back to Florida. And, you know, he's an elite talent. Is he committed to the game? By all accounts, down in Gainesville, he has been committed to the game. So he's just a damn diamond that they're ready to put on the field to see what he can do. And oh, by the way, Shane, number 2 safety in the country, Drake Stubbs, true freshman. So loaded in the defensive backfield. And then last but not least, linebackers. I think we're pretty solid there with Pup Howard back as a returning starter.
Yep.
And 4 guys that have played all around him. So, again, a very experienced defense here. I like this unit as well.
Here we are, Mike. 24 minutes in, I'm starting to like these Gators more. Just sit back and let you do your thing.
All right. So again, we're absolutely loaded. Not loaded, yes. But best team yet. Best team, I think
they bad. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And we're strong on special teams too. Shane, Trey Smack, the kicker's back. Mm-hmm. What'd he do? Oh, just 18 of 21 field goals. Yeah. He kicked a 55-yarder against LSU, a 53-yarder against Ole Miss. So he's got the range, he's got the accuracy, consistency. And Tommy Boy back at punter. I'm not seeing any holes here, except maybe the biggest hole of all, Shane. And again, this has all been positive, right?
Can they all get on the field at the same time?
No, not that. Much bigger problem.
What?
Can Billy Napier coach you to some wins? Because it's kind of silly to sit here and say, oh, a guy can recruit, develop, and all this, because he can. Mm-hmm. But I'm not convinced he's a elite. I know he's not an elite coach. I don't know if he's even a good coach or a very good coach. You know, I think he's good. I'm trying not to be too harsh on him, but check out some of these stats, Shane. When he was at Louisiana, completely different mm-hmm. universe, I know, but he was 16-3 in one score games. These games that he likes to play. Dominant and won 11 in a row to end his tenure there. So he was winning damn near every one possession game, right?
Mm-hmm.
His very first game at Florida was a one possession win, and it was one possession game, and it was a win over Utah. Since that time, he's 4-7 in one score games, and he's lost 12 out of 38 games he's coached. 12 have been double-digit losses at Florida. Every year, he's got 4 double-digit losses. I don't know that Steve Spurrier had more than 4 in his damn career. You know what I mean? And not every coach can be compared to Steve Spurrier, but again, it's night and day different between an elite head coach and someone that is a good recruiter and can get guys to campus. I think the biggest question mark is old Billy Napier and just how good of a coach he is.
And honestly, it's why I get such a hard time with the Florida Gators. They think I hate them. You know, I mean, I grew up Tennessee fan, so obviously there's a little bit of that that's going to be in me. But I also grew up during Steve Spurrier days, during, you know, Urban Meyer days, whether you like him or not, they won football games. So the expectations and the standards that I thought came with that Gator symbol, you know, I still hold it at a higher standard, probably just because I've seen it at its best. So, yeah, I'm the first to criticize Billy. And let me ask you on this note, Mike, because a few years back, you got a lot of heat for somebody asked you about Coach Stoops, what you thought he would be. If you were giving attributes to Coach Billy Napier here, what would you have him as? Would you have him, let's say, recruiting and developing, and then overall, what would you give Billy Napier?
Recruiting and developing.
Yeah.
Probably an A.
Mm-hmm.
Coaching on Saturday. Maybe a D. I mean, it's pretty bad. I mean, and again, it's not like, I don't think he's a fool or anything, but I mean, it's just, there's so many mistakes, so many issues. How many times can you run out 10 guys on special teams in critical situations? It happens time and time and time again.
Yeah.
I mean, remember last year we were making, I mean, everybody was, they had a mat for them to stand on, and they were still doing it. They still were sending too few men out there. You know what I mean? So, and even Liquid said in the comments, I don't know if this is 100% fair, but now that we've seen DJ Lagway, maybe it is. You know, a lot of fans say, well, why the hell is Graham Mertz starting over DJ Lagway? You know, so, I mean, for every good thing, there's a negative too. So,
yeah,
I don't know. So averages out to probably a C coach, to be honest with you.
Yeah, overall.
And that's not good enough to win you. Because, again, best Florida roster, right? Still not as good as Georgia's roster.
Right.
Still not good as Texas roster. That's who you're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you close that gap? You got to have an even better roster if your coach is not as good as Sarkisian or Kirby Smart.
And that's the way I look at it, man. I feel like, you know, a guy like Lane Kiffin is a good coach. Sarkisian, good coach. You know, if you gave Sark that team last year, the Florida Gators, would they, how would they have finished? You know, would they be a playoff team? Would they have more wins or more losses? And I think you find yourself an extra victory or two in there because prime example, the Tennessee game. Tennessee, that was a coaching decision, a coaching mistake that led to a loss. And, you know, there was other things in that game that led to Tennessee winning, but ultimately I felt like the momentum shift and the way they joked it off on the sideline, man, they're just high-fiving and having a good old damn time. And then Florida Gators end up losing that game. And we're, as a Vol fan, extremely grateful that Coach Napier couldn't coach in that environment. So yeah. I'm right there with you. I just wanted to get your input.
And then the only other big question, and I've talked about this all off season. I'm trying not to have bad mojo, and I have no new information, but the health of DJ Lagway. I mean, again, that looms over everything. And I know there's a video of him throwing the football, right?
Right.
He was throwing it like 10 yards. That's not even the issue, as I understand it, with old DJ. It's pushing the ball down the field. Mm-hmm. He's had the same injury in high school. Now it's a reoccurring injury. And then he also got hurt in the Georgia game, which was totally unrelated. But again, this is football. Injuries happen, right? So is he injury prone or are these freak accidents? I don't know. But that hinges over the whole thing. And you had me thinking because you've been hammering home this all offseason. And I think it's a fair question. Let's look at the schedule. How in the hell could this be the best team under Billy Napier? They just won 8 games. Why is Vegas saying 6.5 over under? Mm-hmm. I'll tell you, Shane, because I don't think that they believe that DJ Lagway is going to be the quarterback for all 12 games. That's the only thing I could think of because this is, I think, the easiest over in the entire SEC. I think 6.5 over is easy, but it's not easy if DJ Lagway is not there for all 12 games.
I'll set it up this way. If you knew DJ played all 12 games, where do you think Vegas would have put this over under?
Closer to 8.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Game and a half.
Yeah.
That's fair. No, it's just, I that makes perfect sense, Mike. And you know, there's gotta be something. And that's my only fear is now the standards and expectations that kind of gotten rose up here. You know, I mean, we've got a lot of talking heads out there saying Florida Gators are going to make a playoff run on this show included, you know what I'm saying? And when you start building those standards around that program, if something happens, even if it is an injury, they're going to want to blame somebody and they can't blame an injured quarterback.
Mm-hmm. All right. So win, loss, or toss, buddy. This is a tough one. I flip-flopped a bunch of these. Yeah. So I got 6 games should be wins, 5 games that should be toss-ups. Sure. So you let me know if you agree with me here, Shane. But I got should be wins. Long Island, come on, get the hell out of here. South Florida, that's got to be one for sure. I got Mississippi State at home should be a win. At Kentucky, I know they've had your number in recent years, but we whooped them last year on the road. I'm very hesitant to give any SEC team on the road a guaranteed win, but I think Kentucky's won. Tennessee, I know that pains you, but God, do they own the Vols in the swamp? So I that one to me is an easy one. And then Florida State, I got no respect for that program after the train wreck they had. So again, I got 6 should be wins right off the bat. Do you disagree with any of those should be wins?
Well, I wouldn't say Tennessee's an easy one, but I mean, that would be the only concern I'd say. Tennessee be a toss, and I think move Georgia to a loss.
Well, we haven't got to the tosses yet, but so we got 5 toss-ups here.
Yeah.
At LSU.
Yeah.
And that's just because it's at LSU. Although Otherwise, I might have that as a win. I don't know what the hell to make of Miami at Miami. Miami whooped us last year. I don't think Miami is going to be near as good. But again, rivalries, that's on the road rivalry. That's the only reason I got that as a toss. I do favor Florida, but who the hell knows? At A&M, very difficult environment. Georgia, toss. Come on. I know you love the dogs. And then I switched Ole Miss. I had it as a win. Uh-huh. But again, it's on the road. Revenge game for them. I think it's foolish to sit here and say, oh, that's an easy win in Oxford. It may be, but I can't say that here in late June.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I agree. Yeah, the only, I guess, yeah, this looks good.
And then loss, Texas.
Texas, and the only thing I'd change is Georgia. Until I see this game being relevant or close, I'm not going to just.
It was close last year.
Yeah, was it? You know? All right.
For three quarters?
Yeah.
You know what game's not going to be close, Shane?
What's that?
Long Island. Get the hell out of here. Come on, we're going to beat them by 50, right?
Yeah. This is going to be an absolute bloodbath. And I hope, you know, that only thing I worry about games like this is that if it's close in the third quarter, which Billy does like to play close games, even though Florida will win this thing, it would be some red flags would definitely come up if you're losing to a shark, you know? So, yeah.
It ain't happening. Come on.
No, it's not happening. No.
Your hatred is coming through big time here. All right. So now week two. I mean, this, I don't necessarily think this will be a cream puff. Remember, this is Alex Golish head coach here. Yeah. They run the Heupel offense and they have a quarterback that's pretty decent, you know, for that level. I'm not saying he'd come into the SEC and dominate or anything, but remember they pushed Alabama for three quarters. Then they got blown out in the fourth quarter. and that's what's going to happen in this one. Come on, South Florida, get your ass kicked in the swamp. Maybe if this was in South Florida, I could see him being competitive, but that's a cakewalk.
Yeah, but it's a scary game. You cannot overlook this thing. I mean, ask Nick Saban about this team. These guys can find a way to stay in football games, and if you're caught looking ahead to LSU, that could be a problem. I don't think it should be. This should be 2-0 for the Florida Gators.
And I will say, the only thing I'll say, and again, I know this is Florida. We're trying to stay on the Florida narrative.
Yeah.
But that's a game for Alex Golish. Mm-hmm. If somehow, some way you win it, you punch your ticket to be the next Kentucky coach, the next, Mississippi State coach, whatever. You know, I think he could punch his ticket to the SEC or ACC or what have you. That makes it a slightly dangerous to me.
Yeah, absolutely. He's looking like at Willy Wonka, looking for that golden ticket, you know? Exactly. Florida could be that golden ticket.
Well, speaking of golden ticket, Shay, next game, Florida at LSU. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, man, what a game this could be. It's a huge rivalry game. Last year, Florida snapped the streak. It was a glorious win, and I would argue their best win under Billy Napier, perhaps.
Yeah.
And I'm not a big believer in old Brian Kelly, the old Lucky Charm up there and LSU. I mean, I think there's a lot more pressure on Brian Kelly in this football game after losing to Florida, getting it at home. This game's personal to Billy Napier. Remember, he was at Louisiana. He was interested in the LSU job. Yep. They didn't even consider him. I bet that felt good last year when they whooped LSU's ass, Shane. So, again, and we always forget to say this. Should always lead with this. You know, these are best case, optimistic.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit of homerage here. Having said all that, Shane, I think it's a loss. I think it's a loss just because it's at LSU. They've announced it as a night game. I think Florida can win that game. I really do. But I don't know. Especially, Shane, especially if LSU loses to Clemson, which I don't think I don't think that is like too unrealistic. Hell, they haven't won a opener since 2019. Mm-hmm. This could be the season on the line, perhaps, for LSU. So I think they'll get it, but just barely.
And again, highlighting those rivalries, man. This was a big win last year. Makes this game a little more exciting to watch. You think about prime Florida LSU, thing usually ended in the fourth quarter with some kind of chaos. You know, something went wrong for one team and right for another. I'm not expecting anything different this one. It's going to be a dogfight. But, you know, I feel like, you know, there's another team down there in LSU that's also fighting for kind of that same thing. And it's a little bit more personal. I mean, don't forget how this is the infamous Coach Kelly yelling on the sideline and the mean faces. You know what I'm saying? This is a personal football game to him as well. And if it were at home, I would honestly, I think I would favor Florida Gators. But since it's going to be down there, I'm going to give LSU the victory there. So Florida gets their first loss here.
Yeah, and I'm trying to look it up. I think you probably don't know this off the top of your head, although you probably should, Shane. You have any idea the last time Florida won in Baton Rouge? I've asked you this before, and it's Tennessee related is the reason why I say you should remember.
Florida won 2016.
Yep, that's the last time Florida won in Baton Rouge, goal line stand.
Yeah.
So again, this is, you know, that has got nothing to do with this year's game, but there's always some mojo there. So yeah. Again, could it happen? Sure, I think it realistically could. Florida could come out of there with a win. But it's a tough ask. Now, if you get up off the mat, Shade, next week at Miami.
Yeah.
Speaking of bad coaching, you seen this damn Mario Cristobal? What an idiot he is. He's a guy that didn't take a knee when he could have and could have put Georgia Tech away. That guy's a damn fool. Now he's an elite recruiter, and it helps he's got Miami money.
Yep.
That's what's really recruiting down there. But, this is not going to be an easy game by any stretch. I put it as a toss for a reason. Miami is probably, between them and Clemson, those are probably the top two most talented teams in the ACC. So, again, that's probably good enough for about 10th in the SEC. But, you know, they're at least on the radar here. So, again, solid roster. Carson Beck, though, not a believer. Still haven't seen him throw the football. We'll see how rusty he is. He lost all his receivers, Shane, and he's going to lose a game come Saturday. Come on! Give me the Gator. And I updated my LSU. I originally had it as a win, but I'm changing it to a loss. So that's misread. Uh-oh. But I mean, that's how close I think it could be, Shane. But 3-1, I think, is a hell of a start for Florida.
Well, going back and forth, I'm kind of going with this one because if the double cousin curse happens and LSU ends up winning that game for some miracle, I feel like there could be a problem with this Miami game. You know, it's one thing to be undefeated going to it. I believe Florida Gators just steamroll the Hurricanes, but if you're coming off a loss, that could change a few things. So, I think this is a tight football game, but I think Florida gets it right here. So give me a victory for them Florida Gators.
And I think there's, again, I don't know how much this really plays, but for me, there's a sense of urgency too.
Yeah.
Because we got Texas coming up. We got at A&M.
Yeah.
If we lose to LSU, we lose to Miami. The wheels start coming. You know what I mean?
Exactly. So
I get this is a huge one. All right. We get 2 weeks to prepare, Shane.
And on that note, we talked about pivotal stretches and we're right in the middle of it for I think Florida Gators. It's right now. You got to capitalize because if you don't, then those games that you penciled as wins or potentially tosses at the end of the year, they become losses. So I'm right there with you, brother. Big bye week too.
Yeah. So 2 weeks to prepare for old mighty Texas. Mm-hmm. God's gift of football here. Arch Manning here. I'm trying to see Texas, man. Texas gets a bye too. I mean, does Texas get every break in the damn SEC? They're getting a break on this one because they'll got 2 weeks to prepare. But this will be the most, I don't care if they're playing Ohio State. They're playing at the crack of dawn. It's not going to be too rowdy up there. Yeah. It's going to be rowdy as hell down in the swamp, Shane, because this could be the signature win of the Billy Napier era. If they can beat Texas at home, I think Texas will cruise. We've already gone back and done that ball camp preview. Go check it out if you missed it. But I think Texas is cruising into this thing undefeated. So there's pressure there. Got Arch Manning. We got DJ Lagway, perhaps the two best quarterbacks. I know Lenore Sellers would disagree with that. But perhaps the two best quarterbacks in the conference. I mean, this could be one hell of a game, Shane. I'm giving it to Texas. Come on. I mean, I think they'll be a little bit too much. Mm-hmm. But I think it's a one score game, and that's right where Billy wants them.
Well, you're talking about Texas. What is that when you're like a singer and you have a list of things they need to have ready for you, like just red M&Ms or something like that in the dressing room? Uh-huh. They have these little list of, I guess, kind of like request, if you will. And Texas is like, yeah, we'll play Florida, but we want Sam Houston first, and we want a bye week before. And they're like, all right, we'll make it happen.
excellent point here too, Shane, from Big Gator Chomp. He says this will be Arch's first SEC game. Oh, something to think about. But, you know, again, I mocked Ohio State. I will always mock Ohio State.
Yeah.
I think the fact that he's opening at Ohio State.
Yes.
I think this will be a significantly much more hostile at night SEC game. I get all that, but I think he'll be prepared after playing at Ohio State.
Do you have Texas schedule real quick? Mm-hmm. I mean, we can't go through a preview without talking Texas. So they got Ohio State. I mean, there is a little bit of that, maybe that Ole Miss effect, you know, yep. Last year you kind of get lulled there with those three teams. And mm-hmm. then you play the Florida Gators. Could be something there, but the fact you got them at this is in the swamp, right?
Yep.
Ooh, the toughest place to play, says SEC Mike.
Cotton says, well, Mississippi State last year was his first SEC, but are they really SEC? No. I'm kidding. But.
Sven's not in here. I don't see him. We're good.
That was a home game, too.
I'm going to give this one to Texas, but this one could be close, brother. I keep saying that this is one that who does it mean more for? And Billy, ultimately, this is a must win if that scenario plays out. So, yeah, must win. But I think Texas has too much for him.
And let me put it this way again. Last season probably has got little to do with this season.
Yeah.
But you asked me, tell me this, Shane.
Uh-huh.
What would surprise you more? And I'm trying to put you in the mindset of last year. Okay. Ole Miss had just whooped Georgia's ass.
Yes.
And if they beat Florida, mm-hmm. they're going to the college football playoff.
Yes.
I mean, I thought Ole Miss was going to win that game by two touchdowns. I thought they'd too. Kill the Gators.
I did.
The fact that Ole Miss lost, they sent eight guys to the NFL draft, mm-hmm. 20 players overall are on NFL rosters right now off that Ole Miss team. What would surprise you more? Florida beating that Ole Miss with everything on the line, or Florida beating Texas at home?
Which would surprise me more?
Yeah.
I think last year surprised me the most.
That's the point. Yeah. Point being, I mean, hell, Florida's done. You know, they've pulled bigger shockers than this.
It reminds me a lot of 22 Vols. You remember when Hendon Hooker was quarterback, Tennessee?
Mm-hmm.
And that game, I've never been more confident because they got their asses kicked by the Florida Gators. Similar to Florida getting their asses kicked by Texas. You're just thinking, oh, man, the wheels have fell off this thing. There's no way Ole Miss is going to lose. There's no way Tennessee's not going to go to college football playoff. Very, very similar outcomes. Absolutely blew my mind. And part of the reason why everybody's so high on the Florida Gators this season.
Yeah, I apologize to Mississippi State, Shane. Look at old cousin Cameron here.
Shit. Cam, I'm sorry, Cam.
Shane wanted me to say that, though.
Say anything. I didn't tee it up. He told me not to hit any more of these things up. He worked so hard on these decals or whatever.
All right, next game, Shane. Yeah, we're moving on from Tech. We're moving on, Shane.
Yeah,
we got a trip to A&M, brother. And again, we're high. You're not that high, which is good on A&M.
Yeah,
I think A&M could be playoff bound. Playoffs, yes, playoffs. Year two, Mike Elko. Shane's a regular on Texags. Go check it out. Just on there for weight loss and hyping up the Aggies. But man, I do. I think Florida's better than last year.
Yeah.
I think A&M's better than last year. And A&M whooped you. This could be an all-time class. I think this one's going down to the wire. I'm talking overtime here, Shane.
Yeah.
Give me A&M. I think that's too tough. Mm. Especially if Texas whoops you, which and maybe not whoops you, but physically beats you. We're talking LSU. We're talking rivalry. Miami, rivalry. Texas, A&M. I mean, the Gators are going to be beaten up, I think, going into this game. Yeah.
I agree. I agree with you. I mean, it's a shame they're not playing UTSA, because they're not beating any Texas teams next year. So give me another loss here with the Texas Aggies. I just, again, off of last season, I just think these teams pair well. And everything that we talk about is really good for the Florida Gators. I feel like Texas A&M is great at slowing down and shutting down. This is going to be the defensive line. I'm not saying I'm worried about the Florida Gators front, but it is a little thin. And by God, Aggies are going to run right in the middle of it constantly. And then you're going to try to contain Reed. Yeah, that it's just a recipe for a bad game. Now, can they win it? Absolutely. I think any given Saturday, these teams can. You know, Florida's the ultimate coin toss. Some of these, even in best case scenario, I'm like, I flip a coin. If it's heads, yes, they win. If it's tails, they lose. I have to make the decision. I feel like Texas A&M has, even optimistically, a little too much. And the fact it's in College Station, I'm going to give them another loss here.
And I think, Shane, similar to, I'm trying to think of a game, Tennessee-Alabama last year.
Yeah.
I could see the winner going to the playoff.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and the loser, maybe that's the game that cost them, the playoff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I think it could be that important. Army says, you sure Shane in on the A&M fan page just to talk barbecue? And Cousin Kyle says, yeah, we just got another month subscription out of him for that one. Appreciate you, buddy. All right. So next game, Shane.
Yes.
You know what? Everything I said about Mississippi State's true. Florida gets off the snide, beats the hell out of Mississippi State at home. I think they rebound. And this is, again, not trying to be totally disrespectful, even though I already disrespected your program. Mississippi State's the perfect opponent after that gauntlet you're on. Getting them at home, and then you get 2 weeks to prepare for Georgia. So all you got to do is run the football. Mississippi State can't stop the run. I think Florida may kill Mississippi State.
May kill them. Absolutely. I why do I keep saying this? I keep every game, I'm like, but you got to be careful. I did this with damn San Jose or whatever they were. No, I this should be a win. It's better be a win, especially if even we're doing optimistically, Mike, 2 to 3 losses up to this point. You cannot afford a close game with a team like Mississippi State. And I'm not knocking Cam. I'm not mocking your state. I'm just saying the expectations and standards are to smoke Mississippi State. And if they don't, then this they would consider that another loss almost.
Yep. All right. So then, huge game. I know you got no respect for Gators playing them Georgia Dogs, Shane. I do. Buddy, I do. One of the greatest venues in all of not only college football, all of sports, down there at the cocktail party. World's largest, I hear it. Florida, Georgia. Georgia's been dominant here lately. But I got a feeling, Shane. Them Gators, Shay, they've had this game circled for 365 days, let me tell you. And this is where we turn around the season. This game means more to us, means more to DJ and Billy and everybody down there. The streak is getting snapped, brother. Give me them Gators to beat Georgia.
Oh, my gosh. But they can't beat Texas. Can't beat Texas. This damn list, Mike, I tell you what. Can it happen? Sure. But the thing about Georgia and this rivalry, it's kind of like a Kentucky-esque. They keep it close for some reason, and then all of a sudden, Georgia finds a way to win yet again. That's what happens here, Mike. This is a good ball game for 2.5 quarters, but I just feel like Georgia Bulldogs have too much firepower, too much defense, too much offense. This is yeah, this is another victory for them dogs.
Okay. Well, you're wrong, but I'm just glad we didn't double cousin curse.
We got several up there. Yeah. I think Florida's like, oh, you know what? This isn't so bad, you know?
And then if you're right, Shane, another perfect opponent to rebound. I know it's on the road. It makes it difficult, but we're at Kentucky the following week.
Yeah.
Will Mark Stoops, will he be at the bar still at that point in time? I don't know, Shane, but Kentucky
motivated.
Maybe the worst team in the conference this year. I don't care where the game's played. Give me the Gators. I think they go strong to get into November here.
Smoke dome. Oh, yeah, it's a loss. Yeah, okay. It's a loss for Kentucky. Yeah, no, this is a big one for Florida. I do miss when this game was fun to watch. You know, this was one of my favorite games early in the season. Yeah. It's really kind of lost its luster here lately, but definitely, yeah, who knows? Stoops, I mean, this may be one whoever loses their job. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that could be real potential here, but I do think Florida beats them.
I think the worst thing that Billy Napier has said or done, mm-hmm. time and games, when there's been some lowlights, was saying, you know, got his ass kicked by Kentucky. He said, you know, that program over there, that's who we want to be. I mean, I can't believe Florida didn't fire him that day. Yeah. You know what I mean? So he can never lose to them ever again after making that comment. You know what?
Do you think he wakes up in the middle of the night just like, what was I thinking? You know, I say some dumb stuff too, man.
That was worse than damn haters in the basement or whatever the hell he said. You know what?
Yeah, all the basement kids there in Florida.
Well, speaking of haters, Shane, Ole Miss hates Florida these days after that. So we're hitting the road. We're going to Oxford. Man, this could be an all-time classic. Again, you want to look at the schedules. I know we haven't been deep diving on these other teams so much. We actually did the Ole Miss preview already, so go check it out if you want. But there's very few games up until this point where Ole Miss is going to be an underdog. Maybe three, maybe mm-hmm. as low as two. So, you know, Ole Miss, they could be, I don't want to call them a sleeping giant, but they could be sneaky, sneaky good when them Gators come into town, Shane. But what have I been saying all show? Florida's better. I think Florida, Ole Miss, not as good. Who won last year? They're going to win this year too, Shane. I don't care where the game's played. We're whooping their ass. Lane Kiffin wish he had the Florida job, but he unfortunately he's got the Ole Miss job for him.
Yeah, and I'd like to agree with you, Mike, but the fact you beat them last year makes this one a little bit more personal for old Lane Kiffin. I'm imagining he's got a list. It's Coach Kelly. And then Coach Napier. That's the list right there. And Coach Stoops followed third, probably. You know, any Tennessee fan he comes across. But this is going to be a personal game. This is going to be a tough football game. And I believe that it's really going to dictate based on current outcomes. So if you've got a Ole Miss team that's fighting for a playoff spot, that could be dangerous. If you got a Florida Gator team that's fighting for a playoff, they could be a dangerous team. So I'm trying to pick which one do I think would be doing that. But as a Florida optimist, I'd have to say they're going to get that game. You know, even though Lane Kiffin, you know, has put together year after year, 10-9 win seasons. I mean, he's the success is following him, mm-hmm. but I do feel like this is the best team that Billy's ever had to go against a team like Ole Miss. So yeah, I'm optimistically we should get a win here. If we're going to beat them at home with a playoff run, we can beat them there with all those kids in the NFL now.
Shay, for all we know, Lane Kiffin is the Florida State coach by the time this game rolls around. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He could be on to his next job. He's always eyeing that next one.
Yeah, he may be. He may be.
Now, speaking of the next game, Shay, Tennessee comes to the Swamp, buddy. Game's always played early, not this year, which is very, very interesting for this one, Shane. Tennessee, Florida was once the battle of the SEC. But hey, Tennessee has at least made it interesting the last couple of years, right? I know you got confidence going into this football game, but you know, I don't. Give me them Gators, Shane, to beat the hell out of Tennessee in a swamp, because that's what they do every year. Yeah. for 30 years in a row. And here I can already tell the audience what's going to happen. Shane's going to psych himself up. He's going to convince himself we're going to win. And then it's going to be the most painful loss humanly imaginable. That's what's going to happen.
It's true. It's true. Can you pull up Tennessee's schedule? And this is exactly, you're right, how it plays out. I get my hopes up because they just, you know, had a monumental run after the Alabama game. That, you know, here's the thing. When I look at Tennessee, Oklahoma, and Florida, it's like I'm afraid they're going to lose one of those games. And if they beat Oklahoma, I'm even more worried about the Swamp. If they lose to Oklahoma, I feel a little bit better about that situation. I know it's crazy, but it feels like, because I've watched a lot of these damn Tennessee-Florida matchups, that there are many years where Tennessee should win, and then we're in the third quarter, and we're like, why are we still down 10 points? I don't get it. You know, they got Harrison. They got the backup quarterback in, and he's kicking our ass. What's going on? That could definitely happen, and it's a dangerous place to play. You know, the product may not be great, but the fans always will be. That place will be locked and loaded. And if I'm Florida, optimistically, there's no way they lose to the Tennessee Vols.
Because of Brodo, I'm all in for Mike and Shane giving Gator fans hope and dreams, only to be crushed when they start SEC. That's Shane's burger right there. All right, then last game, Florida State. I mean, they're blowing up our team, bringing in all these transfers. Thomas Castellanos, whatever the hell his name is, talking shit about Bama. Let me just tell you now, it's going to end horribly for him. I think we'll be better than last year. They were 2-10. So give me a 4-8 and give me about a 48-point ass whooping in the Swamp. Florida beating the hell out of Florida. So optimistically, remember, I switched the LSU game. Yeah. I got Florida 9-3. What about you?
I think 8-4 is what I had. Let's pull that up one more time. Cause I had LSU, Texas A&M, Texas,
Georgia.
And Georgia. Yeah. So I got 8-4 optimistically. That's, you know, and I feel like with the schedule, I'm not, you know, Billy's not going to come out here and say it like maybe Kirby Smart would, but you know, there's a few teams that really got screwed here the last two seasons, and the Florida Gators are definitely one of those. And I feel like if he can hit 8-4, well, let me ask you that. What's the threshold, in your opinion, for them to retain Billy and say, hey, you know what? We like, because I don't know if people are wanting to fire coaches as quick as they used to, you know, with this. I mean, it's kind of a wild time right now. Is there a number in your head you're saying, hey, if Florida hits 7 wins, they're bringing him back? If Florida hits, you know, this,
I'll tell you right now. No, there's not a number.
Yeah.
But there's a reason I led with this stat, Shane. Billy Napier's got 12 double-digit losses. He's only been there 3 years. That's 4 a year. Mm-hmm. So if he's getting absolutely hammered by Texas, let's assume, Georgia, I'm just picking the best teams. Let's say at LSU, if you're right, let's say LSU is a borderline playoff team, and literally anybody else. I don't care if it's Florida State, Miami, at A&M, at Ole Miss, Tennessee. You know, if he gets his ass kicked 4 times, I don't care if they go 8-4, fire his ass.
Right.
This is Florida. Now, if they go 7-5 and you know, they're losing them all by 3 points because they got the damn toughest schedule in the country. Mm-hmm. I'm probably bringing them back. Does that make sense? So, again, it's not the number. It's how they look on the field. And if they're competitive, and they don't have to be competitive in all the games because, again, Steve has got them. I think he's got them 26-0 this year. I mean, Texas may be that good. They could blow you out. Not that they should, but they could. Maybe Georgia. What if Georgia's the best team in the country? What if they beat you by 20 points? You know, I'm not saying you turn around and fire Napier. You go 10-2 with 2 blowouts, but we can't be having 4 blowout losses. This is Florida. They don't even hang division banners up. they're trying to eye the national championship, and you got a coach a third of the season getting his ass kicked.
Hell yeah! Keep going, Mike. Keep going, baby.
So, again, 9-3 optimistically. This was really hard for me too, Shane, because there's so many games to pick from. But most important games, again, for Florida to have a good season. Mm-hmm. We could throw Georgia up here. We could throw Texas up here, because, hell, you beat them, you're having one hell of a season. But I'm trying to say, I mean, Shane's asking, and Shane's not alone, but people are asking, how does Billy keep his job? These are the games I think they got to win.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the bad news, Shane. They're all on the road. At LSU, to me, because it's early in the season. At A&M, I just told you, I think the winner of that game could make the playoff, because again, it could be like a crossroads type game for both those programs. And I'm throwing in Ole Miss too. Ole Miss I had I told you this as well. I had that as like a sure win, but then I was thinking last year on the road, I mean, that's not going to be easy. If Florida has a winning record against these three teams, even if it's just 2-1, I think they're having a hell of a year, and they're probably going 9-3 at worst.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like this. I think this is the only one I would probably change is the Ole Miss and the Miami game, just because it's
okay.
It's that little, that's a 3-4 game slate that they just got to have success. Or I believe when you get to an Ole Miss or a Tennessee later in the season, you know, what is the team like at that point? You know, do we start having some depth issues, you know, injuries or things like that? You've got to get these coin toss games early, and hell, they're probably going to be underdogs in a few of these. So that we got to pull off some upsets. 6.5 is unacceptable in the swamp, man.
Yep. All right. Last thing I want to ask you.
Yeah.
And you got Billy 2 feet out the door already. So I'm going to swing it the other way, brother.
Uh-oh.
If they go 9-3.
Yes.
Which again is what I'm saying. Hell, they could do better, but let's say they go 9-3. Does Florida deserve, or maybe deserves the wrong word? What? How? Again, I like going with the 1 to 10. 1 being low, 10 being high. If Florida goes 9-3,
yeah,
do they make the playoff?
No.
On a scale of 1 to 10, Texas could be number 1 in the country. Georgia could be number 2. Yeah. You know, at LSU, what if LSU's number 5? You know what I mean? Like, I think you put them in if it's a scenario like that.
I going off last year's committee, which we're all going to hate at the end of the, I feel like there's some tough conversations that had behind closed doors this offseason. Right. I truly believe there's going to be a little bit more leniency for SEC losses, but I think the only way the Florida Gators do it, because they got a tough schedule, there's going to be a lot of top 25 teams on here, is two of them especially need to be early, like an LSU, like a Miami, like a Texas, even an A&M, you know, but you can't afford to lose to Ole Miss and Tennessee. You're not getting in because, you know, those guys are such short-term memory loss. You're going to have it by November 1st, in my opinion.
Yeah, like, so let's say it's LSU, Texas, and Miami.
Yeah.
Miami wins the ACC. LSU and Texas play for the SEC championship.
Yeah.
I put Florida in. If they're beating Georgia, they're beating Tennessee, they're beating Ole Miss,
Beat Georgia, like first-ranked Georgia, and then a ranked Ole Miss, probably a ranked Tennessee. Yeah, I you can make a strong case of why they should be in if they caught fire, but just don't lose 3 games, Mike. Lose 2.
Yeah, well, don't 2, you're a lock, you know what?
Absolutely. Absolutely, brother.
All right, so, hey, you suffered enough. Tomorrow, we're going to do Tennessee just to cool that pain for you. You know what?
Two-hour show. Be there.
Anything else, brother, before we hop offline?
Kyle sent one. I don't know if he's still in here, but he said if we ever go down there, he's going to cook us some barbecue. I did want to ask you, Mike, if you go down and you're eating barbecue and you have all the meats, that any type of barbecue meat that you can have on your plate, what's your first bite? Are you going brisket? Are you going... You going barbecue,
that's an impossible.
What's your question?
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Probably my favorite is like chopped brisket. I really like chopped brisket. That's good. But, you know, if I'm down there in Texas getting real barbecue.
Yeah.
I also love, first thing, I always got to dig into, they have like jalapeno sausages.
Okay. So you're hitting an appetizer. Yeah, I can do that.
I think you work your way up is what you're supposed to, you know?
Maybe like a burn-in or something, you know?
Right.
Just pop a few of those bad boys as you're waiting for your brisket to get sliced. Okay. All right, let's get off here and eat some.
All right, buddy. So, hey, appreciate you. Appreciate each and every one of you. We'll catch you tomorrow as we preview the Tennessee Vols.
Na-na-na-na-na. Go Gators!
Hey, buddy. This beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the Pirate, and the Pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.